we're just now starting out in terms of the build-out of an American high-speed rail network. We are going to have to learn to crawl before we walk, and certainly walk before we can run. We have a long way to go in this country.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at the issues behind the news. This week, high-speed rail, a game-changer for American transportation.
High-speed rail travel is a way of life in Europe and Asia. But here in the States, it's a different story. With promised benefits ranging from job creation to economic expansion to reduced oil consumption, the Obama administration has allotted billions of dollars to bring a high-speed rail system up to speed. Senior fellow Robert Puentes examines this issue, saying there's no quick way for the U.S. to get on board.
Why is high-speed rail a beneficial way for the United States to go?
Well, as we travel around the country and we work with a network of policymakers and practitioners all across the country, the enthusiasm around this notion of high-speed rail is palpable. There's absolutely no doubt about it. I think that there are a bunch of reasons for that. One is that we know that high-speed rail exists in other parts of the world. We see it in Europe and France and in Germany. We see it in Asia, China, and in Japan. And I think there's a recognition that this is something that we don't have here in America. So while there's a lot of enthusiasm for it, this is certainly not a new idea.
Rob, why is the United States lagging so far behind its counterparts in Europe and Asia in developing high-speed rail?
America has disinvested in its passenger rail network for quite some time. The coalition or the consortium that was created that became Amtrak in the 1970s was basically created to eventually dismantle it. But we see that that rail transit has not just survived, but is starting to thrive really lately. Amtrak is really seeing record levels of ridership in many parts of the country. And those parts of the country where the service is efficient and effective, it is really competitive, in fact. This is a big country, and we have stretched Amtrak lines between lots of small places, between places that need heavy subsidies in order to keep the system running. And we're at a time now in America where we're really thinking about how we can strategically invest in that passenger rail network to make it something that does resemble something that we see in Europe or in Asia.
What about infrastructure? It seems that infrastructure for high-speed rail would be a really heavy lift.
The freight network, the freight rail companies own almost all of the track. The few exceptions are those places where we do have good service here between Washington, New York and Boston, parts of California and some other parts of the country. But for the most part, it's this constant competition between freight and passenger services. And the freight networks is really the envy of the world. We have a very robust, a very efficient, a very effective freight rail network. And so dealing with those tensions, trying to figure out how we're going to be able to operate super fast trains on privately owned tracks while not jeopardizing what they're doing, while meeting our goals for a low-carbon economy. I mean, all these things are up for debate right now.
Well, what are some of the pluses and minuses of developing high-speed rail in the country vis-a-vis local economic impact, the environmental impact? What are some of those factors?
Looking at examples in Europe and in Asia, we see that when done properly and when done strategically, that these investments really do have the ability to deal with issues like traffic congestion, to take cars off the road. There's a carbon benefit that's associated with that. We know that there are certain examples where we can see urban redevelopment happening by redeveloping around these transit stations, whether in the city or in the suburbs. But the problem that we're having here in this country is not the costs that are associated with the train infrastructure, the rails or the tracks or the trains, but the land that it requires to build these systems. For a high-speed rail system to really meet its full potential, it has to be very straight, and it can't have very many impediments in the way, and that's very expensive.
Will developing high-speed rail create jobs?
But I think when we talk about the economic impacts, we need to look beyond just the short-term jobs and really about the long-term competitiveness that these kind of projects will have for this country. If we're going to have a carbon-constrained economy, what is that going to look like? What's the role of high-speed rail in that? If we're going to be doubling exports in 5 years, then clearly there's a role for rail and freight rail, and how does high-speed rail fit into that conversation? If we're trying to create opportunities for all, you know, is this a system that's really going to serve a wide range of the population Or is it just for a kind of a small niche? And how does that impact other infrastructure funding, buses and rail and those kinds of things? So it's got to be part of a holistic conversation.
Rob, President Obama actually earmarked money in the stimulus package for high-speed rail and then subsequently put aside other funding for it in his budget. Why is the president so keen on the development of high-speed rail?
They got a big shot in the arm with the recovery package, where the president put $8 billion in to jumpstart this network here in this country. There is some money that's in the annual budget. So we're up to about $10 billion, $11 billion of high-speed rail investments that are being done now. So while all that, I think, is very good and very exciting, we still have a very, very long way to go in this country to get anything that resembles a European or an Asian-style network. But it took us 50 years to build the interstates, so it's going to take us some time to build out this high-speed rail network as well.
At Brookings is produced by the Brookings Institution. To learn more about the issues discussed on At Brookings, visit our website at brookings.edu.